Wherever you live, we suffer through extreme heat waves. On Greenland, amplified heating leads to extreme melt events that haven't been counted up to now, and they can change the ocean and the weather far away. Water from Greenland glaciers could eventually flood coasts and drown island nations. It takes a long time, though, right? Except new science shows record-breaking Greenland ice sheet melt events. Just like short but deadly heat waves, extreme ice events are here and they are growing. The lead author in this new science, published February 26th in Nature Communications, is Dr. Josep Bonsoms.
Thank you very much for the introduction.
Right, and you're a researcher and postdoctoral lecturer at University of Barcelona in Spain, and you did your PhD about climate impacts on glaciers in Greenland. What is an extreme melting event on Greenland, and please describe one?
One extreme melting event is a kind of a heat wave, but for heat wave, we normally quantify the impact of a heat wave based on air temperature. And for extreme melting, instead of using air temperature, we use meltwater variables, which are modeled using regional climate models, but it can be also modeled using, I have observed based on remote sensing data or automatic weather stations. So basically, an extreme melting event is a period of melting in the ice sheet, and this is driven by thermodynamics and circulation changes.
Are these melting events mostly clustered near the ocean, or can they happen deep inland or even at high elevations?
It can happen everywhere. Like in Greenland, we have peripheral glaciers and ice caps outside of the ice sheet. Then we have the ice sheet, and there's also many parts of Greenland that are covered by seasonal snow cover. So an extreme melting event can happen everywhere in the Iceland.
Your paper describes a number of extreme melt events developing in Greenland, but does not reveal how long these events last. Is an extreme melt measured in days or weeks or what?
Yeah, basically an extreme melting event can be quantified in days, but also in months. And it's normally quantified using a percentile approach, so the days that are over the 95 or 99 percentile based on historical climate data are classified into extreme melting episodes. And we know very well that extreme melting events are increasing in frequency, so the number of days of extreme melting are increasing, but also the magnitude and also the spatial extension of extreme melting in the ice sheet is moving towards higher elevation. So in the past, we had melting events only next to the ablation area, but now because of climate change, we are observing also an increase of melting in the accumulation area and in other parts than in the past was not very frequent to observe extreme melting.
Well, scientists have long studied and modeled how much the Greenland ice sheet is melting and its contribution to sea level rise. They developed standards based on long-term melting. How does the loss of water during extreme melt events compare to that general glacier loss over a year or over a decade? Is it significant?
Normally in the Antarctic and the Greenland ice sheet are contributing to the sea level rise in the entire Earth. And then we have another factor, which is thermal expansion. I mean, the thermal expansion of the ocean. So basically, the melting, the Greenland ice sheet accumulates ice and snow during winter, but then during summer there's positive temperatures that drive melting, especially in the ablation area and in the peripheral areas of Greenland. So there are many parts of the Greenland ice sheet where the total accumulation minus the ablation is negative, but there are still some places in the ice sheet in the accumulation area where there are gains of mass during the total year.
It's easy to assume the cause of extreme melting on Greenland is just global warming. The Arctic's warming about four times faster than the rest of the world. Is the general warming the main driver of these extreme melts, or what did you find is making these things happen?
We found that the increase of extreme melting is driven by thermodynamics, which is the increase of temperature under the same circulation weather types. So this is explained because there's more energy available for melting in the atmosphere, and this is totally linked with the greenhouse gases emissions. So in the end, the increase of greenhouse gases drives more incoming and long wave radiation. Also because the albedo, so the reflectivity of the ice sheet, is decreasing. And then there's another factor related with the circulation, so the air masses movement. And we detected that there's an increase of the blocking events, so the anticyclonic weather events during summer in Greenland that drive extreme melting. So in the end, we have more temperature, but also an increase of the synoptic conditions that can drive positive higher temperature and, in the end, extreme melting events.
It was first reported in 2012 that surface melting had occurred virtually across the entire Greenland ice sheet, including the normally frigid region at the highest elevations. I remember when that happened. Tell us about that extreme melt event.
Yeah, in August and July 2012, as well as in 2019 and more recently in 2021 and 2023, there were extraordinary melting events in the ice sheet that were driven by anticyclonic weather systems, so by blocking conditions over the ice sheet during the summer. So the decrease of the albedo, so the reflectivity of the Greenland ice sheet, amplify this positive temperature. And especially during 2012, the melting was also recorded in the summit area of Greenland. And it was especially important because they compare it, the extreme melting event of 2012, with previous melting events, also using paleoclimate data, so using ice cores. And they realized that the event of 2012 was very extraordinary and not observed in many paleoclimate registers. So these kind of events are happening now more frequently because of the increase of temperature in Greenland. And we know very well that, for instance, the event of 2012 or 2019, they don't have a dynamic precedent, so they don't have any synoptic precedent in the historical climate period.
Wow. So this, as far as we know, is not a normal state. It has never happened before.
Yeah, at least when I say like historical climate period, I refer to 1950, when we have one of the most used terrain analysis data. But for these extremely melting events, such as 2012 or 2019, we know very well that they are very rare in the entire late Holocene to present evolution of the climate in Greenland.
Okay, and you find the number of extreme melt events on Greenland are increasing and becoming more intense in recent decades. So you found records and methods documenting increasing melt events on Greenland. What happens if you take that upward curve of events and model it out, say, for 2 degrees of warming by 2100 or even 3 or 4 degrees of warming?
We know also very well that if we follow the current greenhouse gases emissions scenario, by the end of the century, these kind of extreme melting events can happen around 3 times the magnitude of the present day magnitude. So we know that that each degree of temperature matters, although we'll have the Greenland ice sheet, so all of the ice in the ice sheet will be still conserved even in 2300.
On Radio EcoShock, Dr. Andrew Christ explained large parts of Greenland have been ice-free within the last 1 million years. That's very surprising. And then on the other end of the world, NASA scientists said some Antarctic glaciers have passed a point of no return, saying they were sort of unstoppable and irreversible. In your expert opinion, Josep, do you expect large parts of Greenland to become ice-free eventually? And if so, what kind of timetables are possible in a rapidly warming world?
We know that in the mid-Holocene, the temperatures were slightly higher than in the present day, but because of natural climate variability. And since the 90s, we are observing also an abrupt increase of temperature and melting in the Greenland ice sheet. But this is not explained by natural climate variability. It's explained because of the increase of greenhouse gases emissions scenario, as well as the albedo decay in the glacial and especially in the southern parts of Greenland. So we know very well that the accumulation area of Greenland, many parts of the accumulation area, will be covered by ice and by snow in the next 300 years. But we also know very well that the equilibrium line altitude of the Greenland ice sheet and the ablation area will move towards higher elevations. And there's a big confidence about these changes by the end of the century and in the next century.
The year 2023 set all kinds of records, from hottest year ever to that point, and deadly heat waves across the world. Canada was on fire. There were marine heat waves. Did the 2023 El Niño hot year set any Greenland meltwater records?
Yeah, in Greenland, there was a big melting event in the end of 2023, in the end of the summer, so in August. And El Niño is indirectly related with the melting of the Greenland ice sheet because it modifies the North Atlantic ocean climate patterns. And in the end, it can change the circulation weather types in the Greenland ice sheet. So normally they are connected. Also the circulation weather types in the Arctic are connected with the climate in Northern Europe. So in the end, all of the climate system is interconnected. And in 2023, we also observed an extreme melting event in the Greenland ice sheet.
Anybody paying attention hears about extreme weather events all over the world, but until now, I did not know about extreme melting events on Greenland. Is there a place or a community where this is being monitored? And how can it be communicated like it's a news event?
Well, there are many projects, especially in the University of Copenhagen, for instance. We are working also with people from the University of Liège that they develop a regional climate model, but then there are other people working in the same topic in the University of Amsterdam, and then also people in labs in Switzerland and in United States, for sure. I think it's important to communicate that, and there are many platforms and places that we can translate the results into some kind of news that can be understandable for most of the population. For instance, I'm thinking about YouTube platforms or even in social media. And there are also kind of events that are very useful for translate the scientific results into the political sector, such as the COPs, the Conference of Parties, that are organized every year. So I think that there are many ways of explaining the results that we are finding in science, in broad society, and for the political sector.
I was surprised to find a hub of Spanish researchers working on Greenland's past and its present and its future. Tell us about your group's work at the University of Barcelona.
Yeah, the result is part of the Antarctic and Alpine Research Group from the University of Barcelona. And we do research in Alpine areas and in the Arctic. And this result was founded by the government of Spain that is interested in what's happening in the Arctic because it has many implications also for the climate in Europe. Basically, the increase of meltwater in Greenland and in many glaciers of the Arctic is changing the salinity of the North Atlantic Ocean, so it can change the ocean properties and it can modify the ocean circulation, and in the end it can alter the Atlantic meridional ocean circulation, and it can modify the climate patterns of Europe. It's also interesting from a point of view of the climate in the Arctic, because the decrease of glaciers and the increase of melting in the Greenland ice sheet is changing the air temperature in the Arctic, So in the end, if we have less snow or the glaciers, the surface becomes darker, which means that many of the incoming shortwave radiation is absorbed in the surface, so it increases the temperature. So in the end, what happens in the Arctic has global consequences, and that's why people from here in Spain, in Barcelona, we are researching in the Arctic or in Antarctica.
From the University of Barcelona, we've been speaking with researcher and postdoctoral lecturer Josep Bonsoms. We talked about his new paper called Record-Breaking Greenland Ice Sheet Melt Events Under Recent and Future Climate. You can find links and more in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Josep, thank you for spending time with our listeners.
Thank you very much, Alex, for the interview.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.